I want to welcome everybody to the Master's Class at Life Change Church. Life Change Church. And we are in the book of Genesis, chapter 30, verses 25 to chapter 31, verse 18. And we're going to be talking about God telling Jacob to go home. To go home. Now, in last week's lesson, we began to talk about the battle that was being waged between Jacob and his uncle Laban. And we said that actually there are two different battles being waged in this story. And the first is an earthly physical contest that is being waged between Laban and Jacob. And it is a battle of wits, a battle of who can best deceive the other and come away with the biggest prize. And so what are they fighting for? Well, Laban wants two things. The first is a marriage for his two daughters, Leah and Rachel. But now this is not out of love or concern for his daughters, for they were but a means to get what he really wants, and that is 21 years of labor from Jacob. Yeah, so he wants two things, and then Jacob wants just one thing, and he ends up with two. And Jacob wants Rachel, yet Laban makes him take Leah first. And Laban requires that Jacob work 7 years for each of those two girls, 7 years for Leah, and another 7 years for Rachel. And then what does he do at the end? When Jacob wants to leave, he makes him work another 7 years. So that's a total of 21 years that he's trying to get him to work. And so that's the first, that's the physical battle that was going on. And there's also a spiritual contest that is being waged. And so Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are the line of men that God has chosen to bring the promised seed, which is Christ, into the world. And Satan knows this, and he is doing everything he can to delay, to deter, to contaminate, or cancel this line of men that Christ is going to come from. Now, again, I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again. I'm using this analogy of a fight to bring home a point, but I want to make real sure that you understand that in any contest that involves God and Satan, it is not a fight of equals. Satan is not the opposite of God. God is the almighty creator. Satan is a creation of God, and God can just as easily speak Satan out of existence as he could a gnat. And God is in complete control of these events. Now, sometimes I wished he would speak Satan out of existence, right? Yeah, but God is in complete control of these events, and he will use them for the good of those that love him and to accomplish his will in this world. Amen? Amen. All right. So the spiritual battle is being fought in two different rounds. And the first round occurred 85 years prior to this when Abraham's servant came to get a wife for Isaac. And Abraham's servant was God's representative in this round, and Laban was Satan's. And Laban acted to delay and defeat the mission of the servant who was led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So Laban symbolized the effort of the world or of Satan. The Abraham servant was the representative of God, and Laban was the representative of Satan in this spiritual battle. And his plan was to defeat the plan of God. And Laban failed in that round because the servant had the power of the Holy Spirit guiding him. And he failed because the servant looked to God for guidance and wisdom. That's key. So now round two comes around, 85 years later. And God's representative is now Jacob, a man whom God is really teaching a lesson to, a man who is self-confident and sure of his own abilities. Satan's representative is once again Laban, who has had several years to hone his craft. He's even craftier than he was 85 years ago, right? Now, so round two begins with Laban once again acting to delay and defeat the mission of the servant of God, which is Jacob, who was operating without the leading of God and under his own wit and strength. So you see the major difference here between these two rounds. You've got Abraham's servant who was following the lead of the Holy Spirit, and you got Jacob who's operating under his own wit and his own wisdom. And so Laban symbolized the effort of the world or Satan to defeat the plan of God here again. And notice that this time Laban had much more success. He kept Jacob under his service in a land away from the promised land that Jacob was the heir of. He delayed, he deterred him from ever leaving, and he successfully caused God's representative to sin by deceiving him into marrying two wives. And this was Satan's attempt to contaminate or to stop the line of Christ. So he caused him to sin. Why? How? Because you're not supposed to marry more than one wife. God never has that in plan. God's plan for marriage has always been one man and one woman. One biological man, one biological woman, right? To be in marriage. So Jacob is now married to two women who are both struggling to win the love of their husband. And he also has two handmaids for his two wives, and he has 13 children that came from four different women. And they are all hungry, and they need to be provided for. So in addition, he knows that Laban has prospered greatly because God has been with Jacob during this time. However, Jacob knows that he must begin to build his own wealth, and he cannot do that working for Laban because Laban takes everything, right? So Jacob is preparing to leave Laban, and I'm repeating some of this from last week, but I got to set the stage for the rest of this week. And since I can't remember what I taught last week, I can't expect you guys to, right? So, all right, we're going to start with chapter 30 in the book of Genesis in verses 25 through 26. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. Now notice that something has happened to Jacob. So once Joseph is born, Jacob begins to realize that Mesopotamia was not the land that he was supposed to be in. That was not the land that God had promised him, and it was not the land of Isaac, his father. And so Jacob's convictions are stirred. And he makes a decision to return to the land from of his father. Unfortunately for Jacob, he is still operating under his own wits. So his commitment is like a lot of ours. How often do we say, God, you know, I agree with you. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. But I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to choose how to go about doing it. And that's exactly what Jacob was doing. Instead, what he should have been saying is, God, I'm incapable of doing what you want without the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill me and strengthen me and lead me. Amen? That ain't a very strong amen. Amen? You guys don't think God ought to lead you? No, amen? And, all right, God ought to lead us, right? Verses 27 and 28. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for my sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. We see that Laban is quick to recognize the problem for his own wealth if Jacob were to leave. Laban knew that he had to do something to keep Jacob there. If Jacob's convictions were being stirred, then Laban had to stifle them. But God wanted Jacob in the land that he had promised him. He wanted Jacob's sons to grow up in that land, away from the kindred that God had separated Abraham from. God called Abraham out of this land and from his kindred for a purpose. And he wanted Jacob to be away from that as well. So God's purpose was for the promised nation to grow in that promised land. And the longer Jacob stayed with Laban, that purpose was defeated. If you remember last time, I told you that Jacob was probably about 77 years old at this time. So he's been there a while, and he's getting older in life. Now, notice what Laban says about Jacob's witness. And this is interesting. He says, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Now, this is a witness to the power of God in spite of the weakness of Jacob. So Jacob's faith, combined with his business skill, had made an impression on Laban. But Laban knew that there was more to it than simple business skill. He knew that God had a hand in this. Laban knew that the reason Jacob was successful was because of his relationship to the Lord. Verses 29 and 30, and he said unto him, Thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for mine own house also? So the Lord had blessed Laban because of the presence of Jacob, just as the Lord had blessed Abimelech when Isaac was with him. But Jacob was ready to build his own wealth. And he asked of Laban, now when shall I provide for mine own house also? And we get to verses 31 through 36. And he said, what shall I give thee? And this is Laban talking to Jacob. And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he, being Laban, removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all of the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now, I want to tell you something. I have had multiple commentaries and others that just skip right over these verses because they're so confusing, okay? What was Jacob doing? What was he trying to say here? Well, I'm going to tell you today what I think he was saying, all right? Because Jacob was trying to put together a plan to begin building the foundation of his own set of flocks. And he tells Laban, I will pass through all thy flock today, removing thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. Now first, the thing you got to understand is the word cattle here doesn't mean cows. Cattle means herds. It means any herd of agricultural animals. Okay? So every time you see the word cattle, don't get confused that he's doing cows and sheep. It's sheep and goats that we're doing here, and they're both called cattle as herds. All right? So don't let that confuse you. Notice how Jacob defined his wages to Laban. Jacob agreed to continue to oversee Laban's affairs, but he must be allowed to lay the foundations for his own financial future. Now, pay attention because this gets easily confusing. It confuses me all the time, every time I read it. And if we just got through reading it, and can you say that you weren't confused while we were trying to read it? I'm here to tell you. But Jacob said that he would go through Laban's flocks and call out the brown sheep and the speckled and spotted goats. Now, sheep are supposed to be white, and goats are supposed to be black. And so any brown sheep is an off color, and a speckled or ring-straight goat is an off color, okay? So what he's doing is he's going through and finding all of these brown and speckled sheep and goats, and he's separating them from the white and the black, okay? So we got two herds now. And so he's going to put off those ring-straight and speckled goats and brown sheep, and that would be Laban's. Those are Laban's. And that would leave all the solid color sheep and goats in a separate flock, meaning the white sheep and the black goats. And these would be Laban's too. All right? So you got two flocks, and they're both Laban's. So as of this day, every sheep that's out there in the field is Laban's. Right? Got two flocks. Now, Jacob would then not breed from the existing brown sheep and speckled spotted goats. So he would only breed from the white and the black, all right? So Laban could do what he liked with the speckled goats and the brown sheep. He puts them in a flock, and he actually moves them off 3 days away from the white and the black sheep. So he's totally separated them, okay? And so he's removed them to other fields, and he entrusted them to his sons, actually. Laban entrusted them to his sons. But now, all future brown sheep born of the white sheep and all spotted and speckled goats born of the black goats would be Jacob's. So now he's moved all of the current brown and ring-straked and spotted goats away, away, away. So they can't be in the flock at all. He's got all pure white and black goats Now, any ringstrake and speckled goats and brown sheep would now become Jacob's out of that white and black herd. Everybody understand that? Understand the logic behind that? So that there couldn't be any confusion whatsoever. The speckled and ringstrake were born out of the pure white and the black goats. I got that out of this, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. anything that grew from those ringstrake and brown sheep, any more of those that were born, they would also be Jacob's, okay? So Laban gets to keep all the white and the black stuff, but all the ringstrake and brown sheep out of that herd became Jacob's, okay? So in other words, Jacob was willing to start with absolutely nothing. And that would give God a chance to bless him in this proposed arrangement and remove any suspicion of cheating from Laban's mind. And that's going to be important in a couple of weeks, or next week's lesson when Laban starts chasing after him, okay? But it must be agreed that any future brown sheep and spotted and speckled goats arising from the solid color flocks and herds must be Jacob's. That was the deal. That was what the deal was. Laban must have looked at Jacob as though he was crazy. Because everybody knew that eastern sheep were mostly solid white and rarely brown, and that eastern goats were predominantly black and rarely were born and spotted and speckled. All right? So the genetic traits just wouldn't normally have that way. It was a hidden gene that would happen every once in a while. It's kind of like Labrador retrievers. You know, you can have two golden labs, and they'll have a black lab baby because of the hidden traits. It doesn't all stay that way. Well, here these goats would come from pure black, okay? Now, so Laban, he looks at that, and he says, man, I know most of the lambs are going to be born white, and most of the goats are going to be, hey, that's my kind of deal, man. I love that, all right? And so, yet Jacob was willing to found his future fortune on odds as long as those. It was just too good a bargain for Laban to resist, and he closed the deal on the spot. And before Jacob could change his mind, he said, yep, absolutely, we're going to get this done this way. And he set his hands off to cull out and remove the marked sheep and goats. All right? So we're started here. And he put 3 days' journey between Jacob and the culled out brown sheep and the spotted speckled goats. And Laban, that old Syrian farmer, he must have shaken his head in perplexed wonder. And he still had Jacob's testimony ringing in his ears. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. So if Jacob runs off with any white sheep or black goats, then those would be counted as stolen in his herd. All he can have is the spotted goats and the brown sheep. Everybody caught up with me here? All right. So the dominant trait in Laban's flocks produced mostly white sheep. But even starting with a pure white flock, Jacob knew he could produce brown sheep. And the same held true for the goats. And starting with all black goats, he knew eventually he would get spotted and speckled goats because of the hidden recessive traits would produce in time a nucleus both of sheep and goats from which he could build his own flock. Now, Jacob also trusted that God would be gracious and give him a better percentage than he might ordinarily expect. And being Jacob, he thought he would add just a little bit of guile as well into this process. And we're going to get into what that was here. Verses 37 and 42, and it says, and Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. That means he stripped the bark off in places and made them stripe so that the white pieces would come out, all right? And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs when flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ringstrake, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ringstrake, and all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutter, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Now, can you imagine why people skip over all these verses? So Jacob, he goes off into the hills with these two magnificent flocks, both owned by Laban. He didn't own a single goat or a single sheep out of this bunch. Now, one flock of pure white sheep and the other flock of jet black goats. So there was not a single less attractive off-color animal among them, which was important so that Laban could not later claim that Jacob had stolen any brown sheep or speckled goats. Now, Jacob's goal here was to get a start with his herd of colored sheep and spotted goats. Now, the first thing he did seemed strange. He cut some good, stout sticks from nearby hazel, poplar, and chestnut trees. Now, those sticks he peeled so that the naked wood appeared in strips and bands. And he put these spotted, speckled, and peeled sticks in a watering trough. Why? Who knows? I have no clue whatsoever why he would do that, okay? And now, there are some commentators that talk about the sticks putting off some kind of aphrodisiac. Oh, okay. Now, but the scriptures don't tell us that, and so that's just pure speculation on their part, all right? Now, however, we see that it was not long before the flocks began to multiply, and the kind of sheep and goats Jacob wanted began to show up in unusually large numbers. Now, Jacob went after two things. He went after quality, and he went after quantity, okay? Now, to ensure quality, he used the rods only when the stronger animals were mated. Then he consistently separated the stronger animals from the weaker ones so that he could begin to develop viral, healthy sheep and goats. And that was simply employing sound principle of selective breed, right? You breed the strong with the strong and weak, you don't worry about it, right? So now to ensure quantity, every time a brown lamb was born or a speckled or spotted kid, he separated it from the rest of the flock. Now, those, of course, were his, and he allowed those sheep and goats to bring among themselves, thereby increasing his chances of getting more of the same kind. So now he was breeding speckled goats and brown sheep, and that was more likely then that he would get the same kind of that. And now, soon his portion of the flock began to increase greatly. But understand this, it was not because of any tricks he had used, but as he later told Laban, because God chose to bless him. So all of this fooleraw had nothing to do with it. This was God working. Verse 43 says, and the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and menservants and camels and asses. And as his flocks and herds multiplied, we see that Jacob branched out into other forms of business. Now, his shrewdness helped him in all of this, and so did hard work and sound investment, and so did simply being the best man in his field. But more than anything else, God prospered Jacob, and because God chose to bless him, he soon became very wealthy, and he became a man with power to be reckoned with in the land. However, and I'm just going to repeat this again because I want to make sure that nobody believes all that stuff about all the striped sticks and all that had anything to do with it, right? Jacob's success in this scheme had nothing to do with his plan to put those striped rods in those water troughs. This was God's control over the breeding process that would make the difference. And we're going to see that that's true here in just a minute, okay? Thinking with a carnal mind versus a spiritual mind, Laban must have thought Jacob was an absolute fool for doing what he was doing. Now, God, thinking with a spiritual mind, knew something that Laban did not know. Jacob would succeed because God willed it to be so. God blessed the flocks of Jacob, and he increased his wealth exceedingly. And now we get to the section where God orders Jacob back to Bethel. So far, Jacob had been motivated by two goals, one to marry Rachel and the other to get rich. Now, he had achieved both of those, and neither was adequate, though. For neither of being rich or being married can satisfy the spiritual needs of a person. It was then that God put a wrench into the plans of Jacob. Now, it happened all of a sudden. Here's old Jacob. He's wealthy. He's got his plan working. He's got two wives. He's just happily married. Of course, those wives are fighting and making his life miserable, but that's okay. Got all these kids who are looking at him for food and everything. And so now he's a rich man. He can make sure that they've all got food and everything, and clothes to wear, and a house or a tent to live in. And so, but all of a sudden, things change. Oh my, the world becomes suddenly menacing. God needed to get the attention of Jacob because he didn't want him satisfied where he was. And he did. We go to chapter 31, verses 1 and 2. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all his glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and beheld it was not toward him as before. So now Laban had been pleased to have Jacob working for him when all of the blessings had been an increase in his own stock. Hey, that was good. I'm getting what I want, right? Now Jacob was working for his own benefit as well, and now the Lord had blessed his effort beyond anything that Laban was receiving out of this new arrangement. So jealousy can sour any relationship, especially between family members. Amen to that? Yeah. Now, the second thing that happened was that the word of God became suddenly meaningful. So we had the world becoming suddenly menacing, and now we have the word of God become suddenly meaningful. Verse 3 says, And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So it had been a long time since Jacob had heard the word of God in a clear voice. You remember that was back in Bethel when he saw the ladder going up into heaven and so forth. Now with the world becoming suddenly menacing, the voice and the words of God became suddenly clear and meaningful. Now many times that is exactly what we need to get us out of our comfort zones. When things are going good, why do we need God? Why do we even need to listen for the words of God? Everything's going great, right? So yet when things start going bad, our first question is, why, God? Why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening to me, God? And it is then that we begin to listen to what God has been saying for a very long time. In Jacob's case, it was return unto the land of thy fathers and unto thy kindred. And suddenly the word of God had a meaning for Jacob. So Jacob's next problem was how to get away from Laban. Now to do that, Jacob wanted the support of his wives. And he gave them two reasons. The first was Laban's proven dislike. And so now we read verses 4 and 5. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it has been not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. So here's Jacob, and he calls out his two wives out in the field, away from the ears of everybody else. He didn't want them listening in. And he tells them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before. Jacob states the fact that Laban and his sons had not bothered to hide their mistrust and dislike of Jacob. Now, the second thing that he told his wives was about Laban's persistent dishonesty. Verses 6 and 7 said, And ye know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. So now as proof of his father's dislike, Jacob tells him, And your father has deceived me and what? Changed my wages 10 times. Now certainly Jacob had been fooled and taken advantage of by Laban. There's no question about that, right? Had it not been for the staying hand of God, Laban would have taken everything from Jacob, and Jacob was paying the price for his own deceptions. And then Jacob's confession is next. And so Jacob was now going to give his testimony to his wife. It was significant because it showed how much Jacob had come back to God. And his first confession had to do with his prosperity. Verses 8 and 9, And if he had said thus, The speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, The ringstrake shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstrake. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them unto me. Jacob tells his wives that God has prospered him. If the agreement between Jacob and Laban was that all of the colored sheep that were born would be his wages, then God caused the sheep to bear colored sheep. And if the agreement was that all of the speckled and ringstrake goats were born, they would be his, then God caused all of the goats to bear speckled and ringstrake goats. And so Jacob tells them that it is God that has prospered him. He's admitting that it wasn't anything to do with those strips of wood and stakes that he put in there. He said, God has done this. And that's his testimony to his wife. And then Jacob tells him of his dream and how God caused this to happen. So now Jacob has another dream. And we read this in verses 10 through 12. And it came to pass at the time the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstrake, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of the God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. He said, Lift up now thine eyes and see that all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstrake, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. So this is how Jacob knew what God was doing. He saw it in a dream. So Jacob testified to his wives that his prosperity had resulted not from his own cleverness, but from God's grace. And that was quite a change from the arrogant, self-sufficient man that had rolled the stone from the well and chose his own wife without ever talking to God about it, confident in his own wit and wisdom. And he testifies to his wife, and the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. So God had shown him in a dream how to mate the cattle. So this was not the result of Jacob's cleverness at all. Now, this is a really important step for Jacob, because it is not until we recognize that our own success, our own blessings, our own strength come not from ourselves, but from the grace of God, that God can truly begin to use us to do His work only when we recognize that these things come from God. So he continues by telling them what God told him in the dream about his prospects. In verse 13, he says, I am the God of Bethel, whom thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise and get thee out from this land and return to the land of thy kindred. So Jacob tells his wives that his future prospects lay not in his own conniving, but in God's guidance. And God commanded Jacob to leave and return to the promised land that he had left so long ago. And God tells Jacob, now arise and get thee out of this land and return into the land of thy kindred. So Jacob tells his wives that the God of Bethel, the God of Abraham and Isaac, had commanded him to leave this land and to return to the land of his father and brother. This is the land that had been promised to Jacob by a covenant from God. He confessed that there was no future for him in Paddan Aram or Mesopotamia. His future lay in the place where God had placed his name. So that's a great lesson for any believer to learn. True prosperity is spiritual, not material. It does not reside here on this earth, but where God is. We have to look to a higher plane than this world for true prosperity. Therefore, Jacob, when he was faced with the loss of everything, came home to the heart of God. In verses 14 through 16, and Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. All right, so here we see that Rachel and Leah realize that Laban did not give them to Jacob out of a concern for their welfare. He wasn't looking for a good husband for them. They tell Jacob, Are we not counted of him strangers? His own daughters, strangers, for he has sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. So they understand that they were nothing but barter to trap Jacob into working for Laban. Now, as a result, Jacob's wives reasoned that Laban owed them a portion or an inheritance, right? But that inheritance was gone because Laban had already spent it. So they respond to Jacob by telling him, For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. So the lesson in this is that when a man and his wife, in this case wives, They are both pulling on the yoke in the same direction of obedience to God. Life gets real simple, real quick. When you and your wife agree to be obedient to God, life gets real simple, doesn't it? Amen. Amen. Yeah. You guys almost didn't really believe that, did you? All right. I'm going to talk to some men's wives in this class here. But is that start talking? Yeah. All right. So then we get to verses 17 and 18. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Paddan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. All right, so next week, we got old Jacob heading out, right? He's leaving. And we're going to see the response of Laban and the dependence of Jacob on God. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to see old Jacob in all kinds of trouble as he's trying to get out of this mess he's been in, right? All right. Amen? Amen. All right. Amen. You guys are finally awake. I woke you up here at the very end.